Hello and welcome to the Ship.Energy podcast. It's Mark Williams here, broadcasting to you from sunny Cambridgeshire in the UK. Now, we hear from all kinds of different organisations and individuals on this podcast series, and I sometimes wonder if we hear enough from the bunker industry itself, from the physical suppliers and traders and so on. So it's a really good opportunity today to hear from a new organisation that represents the interests of physical bunker suppliers. This is the Marine Fuels Alliance. It was formed in October 2021 out of a series of conversations that had happened during lockdown. And it's been created to build a network of independent bunker suppliers powered by its members to enhance their capabilities and extend outreach to new markets and opportunities. The chief executive officer is Anthony Mollett, who has a 20-year career in bunkers and agency. And I'm delighted to welcome him as my guest on today's podcast. Anthony, welcome to the podcast. Great to have you on.
Thank you very much indeed, Mark. It's a great opportunity for the MFA right now, as in our formative months, to have this opportunity to introduce what we're doing in this particular area. So thank you for the opportunity to be on your podcast.
Well, very welcome. And, you know, it's a nice to see that the bunker industry is taking proactive steps to have a voice in the decarbonisation discussion. So on that basis, just give us a little background to, if you would, to the MFA.
The Marine Fuels Alliance came about during lockdown, actually, opportunity to sit and chat with people. We weren't travelling, you know, no, people weren't going to the events and seminars. And a group of us across the industry, from people from legal, people from physical supply, traders, the world of credit, we started a small group, and we quickly realized that there was a gap for physical suppliers to have their voice and to really get involved in some of the conversation and debates that are going on, specifically where they need help, where they need solutions and resources. So we came up with a name, we gave it a logo, we designed a website, we, you know, breathed oxygen into it, made it real. And suddenly we realized we had momentum, and the more people we spoke to, the more we realized this, that there was an opportunity here for a new organization. And so we've had tremendous backing and support, as I said, from some industry experts and people across the various business sectors. And I became the executive officer, as you said, in October 2021. And since then, we've formally launched the membership portal and have started our inaugural meetings online, which have been very well received.
So you're a virtual organization, so you're saving the planet in not buying lots of airfares.
It was born out of necessity. Naturally, in time, we have every desire to be regionally based, regional representatives of the MFA. And what we will do is make our meetings specific to the region we're in. The topics are obviously going to be different in the different parts of the world, but we will try and tally those to existing events and seminars on the calendar so as not to be specifically traveling for MFA business. But absolutely, yes, we've done this from behind a camera and a microphone, which is quite an achievement, actually.
No, absolutely. You know, it's been hard for anyone to convene meetings over the last couple of years with having to do it virtually. So it's impressive that you've made that step. You know, you talked about discussions across the various different agendas in the industry. How far up the list of priorities is the decarbonisation debate at the MFA?
It is one of our six focus group titles. We call them hot topics at first. If you're having a conversation with anyone right now in the industry, it's impossible not to talk about decarbonisation and the environmental impact of our industry. We recognise that across our work focus groups that we are going to have to, you know, drill down and refine each topic into the different agendas. The thing at the start is as we formed, the issue between Russia and Ukraine escalated very quickly. And so we focused our first few meetings on sanctions, compliance, and the KYC process. because that's what suppliers need help with now. And that's where we've been getting some tremendous feedback from ship owner bunker buyers. The sustainability section has had its first meeting, and that went extremely well, which I'll go into some detail shortly. But yes, it's high on the agenda, but we have to remember that what we're offering are resources and solutions on day-to-day matters. And right now, some are more pressing for suppliers, shall we say, and that's where our focus has been.
What is the what's the niche? Why are you focused particularly on bunker suppliers? What are the particular requirements that differentiate that group and your organization from other groups and organizations?
I believe, having worked for an independent supplier and recognized both them and others of a similar size and type, I quickly recognized that there's an awful lot of information, there's an awful lot of debate and meetings and seminars on so many topics, but it's not being understood or captured by small companies who on a day-to-day level are more worried about cost of the cargo, operating their barges, trying to do sales and marketing at a time when they haven't been able to travel anywhere because of lockdown. I think what we are really aiming to do is offer suppliers solutions and access to information at a level at which they need it now in their business.
Sorry, yep. I'm just trying to think of the best follow-up question for that.
Okay, to be more specific then, why are we different? We are talking to other associations and organizations. Naturally, we are not here to muddy the waters or to repeat work that's being done by any other organization or association anywhere in the world, be them global or regional. We're trying to argue that if the bunker industry is going to raise its profile and better represent itself in the shipping industry, we need to ensure that suppliers are brought along the journey.
Yeah.
You know, I've used the phrase, you know, lead the horse to water. We've got to make sure that suppliers are understanding the legislation, the new regulations, requirements, laws that are being introduced at a rate of knots. And we have to explain to them that when legislation is written, it's going to happen. This isn't something that's going to go away or happen quietly in the background. And our concern across the board of all the people that have been involved from the start of the MFA is that there's not enough education at a level that suppliers are recognising either the importance, the severity or the impact on their business. And that's what we're doing. We will work, we will align with other industry organisations and bodies in different regions. Indeed, I'm meeting one this week in Holland, the Nove Group. They're doing a lot of work. But we're looking at it at a global level. You know, don't do great things in one region. Let's share the wealth, share the knowledge. You know, what have you done that's specific in this area? Or what have you done that's different? And that's what we're trying to do, is share that education and understanding to others.
Do you feel then that there is a shortage of information, of analysis, of intelligence, of advice amongst the physical supplier community globally?
I think the issue is it's not in one place. It's not in one location. We want to have a website that has documents and resources and access to information and help immediately. The way we live our lives today on the internet, buying shopping, buying holidays, anything we do, it's available at a click. And we feel that for all the wealth of tremendous information is out there from media, from LinkedIn and other sources, it's just putting it in one place where not only can the information be downloaded, but requests can be made for an agenda or a topic for a meeting. And specifically, our meetings will always have a set formula, which is that it will be suppliers talking to ship owner bunker buyers with partner companies, so the expert in that particular area, in one meeting, so that the supplier gets to say, look, this is it from my point of view. The bunker buyer gets to say it from their point of view. And in the middle is the expert company that says, okay, I hear that. We've got a product or we've got a solution. We can refine that down and make it something tangible that's going to be of benefit to the member.
So I take it from this then you're looking at things through the prism of the perspective of the bunker supply industry, but you're agnostic as a association about particular solutions or methods or whatever it might be. You're there to provide the resource.
Yes, that's a good word to use. I mean, for us, it's about educating. It's about connecting. I mean, our three words are promote, support, connect. We're here to support suppliers in areas they most need it. We will connect them with ship owner bunker buyers and partner companies, and in turn promote their profile. So we had a fantastic meeting the other day, our first meeting of the sustainability group, and Dan Gent, the sustainability manager at UECC, gave a great presentation, as did Alex Corrales of Pennine Energy, who were both in different ways, but both focusing on new fuels, the use of new fuels, its availability. And Dan very specifically said to the suppliers on the call, I have a business model to purchase clean fuels, but there's not enough ports where I can source them. If you work with us and we guide you into how to supply, store, and you know, understand everything about the fuel specification and what's needed for barges, there's business for you to be had. You know, there's business out there for a supplier if they work with certain bunker buyers. Mads Bjørneby at TK has a similar conundrum. He's trying to prove his procurement strategy internally, but there's a limited number of ports at the moment where he can purchase the fuels he needs. So that's the sort of link we're trying to make.
Yeah, that distribution element is a key part of the decarbonisation process going forward, isn't it? Because it doesn't matter what kind of fuel the bunker buyer is buying, it's all about availability, on spec, at the right price, where you need it, when you need it, in the volumes that are required. And that applies whether you're buying fuel oil or liquefied hydrogen or anything else that you might power a vessel with, doesn't it?
Well, it certainly does. And I go back to my initial experience in the bunker industry, where I was working at Shell Trading in London and was one of the global bunker buyers there. And when chartering said that we had a vessel which wasn't fixed yet, but can you get prices in 3 or 4 ports? That was our job, to go and source pricing according to the Shell procurement strategy and make sure that the charterer's desk had optionality. Well, that's not the case with the availability of these, what we call, you know, new clean fuels. And, you know, the conundrum that we can recognize already, and it was raised in the sustainability meeting, is that suppliers are looking at the investment. You know, if I do invest, if I listen to these companies that are going to be buying this fuel, what's my return? When am I going to get a return? You know, do I diversify and offer different fuels? Do I buy a new barge or open in a new port? So I think, you know, as you rightly said, Mark, you've got the traditional situation where a bunker buyer turns to his trader or broker or you know, regional clutch of suppliers and says, you know, give me 4 prices between, I don't know, Istanbul and Malta and Gibraltar. But that's just not the case for vessels that are having to go to the only ports that have this fuel available. So yeah, that's the change. And therefore, how do we bring suppliers along that journey to educate them? So if you have a supplier with an LNG barge, let's say in the Baltics, supplying a ferry, well, you know, how can he educate another supplier in the world about that? Where did you buy it? How do you operate it? How did you change your operations manual? You know, what do you know about specifications or testing? That's what we want to do. Why can't that be shared elsewhere? And that's where we feel we can be the host of that and connect people in a new way.
Understood. I see the value there, yes. And when it comes then to the alternative fuels, to the low carbon fuels, there's an issue as well, I think, for independent physical suppliers, which is that most of these fuels are going to be sold, I would have thought, at least for the first period, directly by their producers, by their manufacturers. And they're probably going to be sold on long-term contracts, because that's the only way that the manufacturers can raise the finance to build the plant to make the fuel in the first place. So how are the independent suppliers kind of jostling for position in order to maintain their place in the supply chain?
I don't know that enough of them have thought about that even. If you look at in some ports in entire regions where there still only is, you know, VLSFO and NGO, I don't think enough of them are asking the question, because maybe their region, their government or legislation isn't suggesting it's going to affect them just yet. And that takes me back to the point I made earlier about the conundrum. You know, are people even looking at the possibility to do that feasibility study for their small, possibly family-run business? And another very good point on that, Mark, that was raised by Dan Ghent, again, in our sustainability meeting, was that a lot of these new fuels are actually used elsewhere in other industry. Now, as we know, traditionally, heavy fuel oil is, you know, one of the biggest consumers of ships, other than perhaps some, you know, industrial plants. But when you're talking some of these new fuels, this is a different level now of supply and demand. And I think that was a very interesting point put forward, and how that's going to affect pricing, sourcing and availability. So yes, that's why you're probably right, long-term contracts, because at least committing to a volume.
Yeah. So I think, is there a fear that the independent suppliers might end up being squeezed out, or is it just, you say, they just haven't thought about this yet? They haven't had time or space to consider this yet?
I think there is a fear. I think even before we talk about these new fuels, it's happening already. You know, we know from comments and from direct answers in some of the meetings we've had when we've asked suppliers a question, they are worried about changes in their port, other people moving in. Suppliers have made changes over the years according to new, you know, SECA regulations. But as you rightly just said, there's going to be, well, here's another thing. There's going to be entirely new companies on the scene. So when we talk about credit and the KYC process, there's going to be new suppliers. There's going to be new cargo suppliers and physical suppliers, right? So, yes, I think there is a risk for a lot of small, medium, independent suppliers in the world that, you know, if they don't change, what will happen to them? And how do they change? What do they change to? And when do they do it?
Yeah, when I'm talking to my own clients in the business, I often talk about the corporatization process among independent ship owners. You know, it's getting harder to be a mom and pop shop these days because the regulatory barriers are getting higher. Is that going to be the case for the bunker space as well, do you think?
I think it is, and that's why we're offering immediate help on an area, as I mentioned earlier, the KYC process. Simply, you know, getting your house in order, getting your documentation in order so that you can be more visible and attractive to a would-be buyer. You know, this is what we're trying to educate suppliers on. You know, we had a fantastic comment from Lars Malmbratt of Stena Bulk, where he said, you know, for every time we send a request out for KYC, I get about 25 different versions of it. Why on earth haven't we got like a standard format? And beyond the KYC, just filling a form in isn't even good enough. It's the quality of the information, the accuracy of the information behind it. The more we help suppliers today to do that, have it ready, have it in a document, even on our website under their profile, that allows a buyer to at least say, okay, I can see this company, I can see his barges, perhaps a report on recent inspections of his barges. There's all the KYC I know. That's the start of a journey. There's an awful lot more they have to do. But again, that's something the MFA recognises as a very immediate means of help and giving some education to suppliers.
Mm. So you mentioned you've got six focus groups, six hot topics, and sustainability and decarbonisation is one, and sanctions, compliance, and KYC are two. What are the others?
Well, we have a technological section where obviously we're going to be looking at digital solutions, because that's a major topic right now. Where, you know, electronic invoicing and BDNs and digital ship stamps, etc. So that's going to be an important piece again for educating and potentially trials. You know, suppliers are looking for trials of these things. How could I work it in my business? We have a claims and technical group. And we will be putting on our website for members shortly our claims protocol, which we've written, help in various types of claims, what to do, what should I say, what shouldn't I say when replying to a claim, which is often the biggest problem. So, operations and processes is another section where we're going to be looking at really day-to-day operations and how you manage the supply chain. And we'll be looking in detail at terms and conditions and the impact of different types of terms and conditions in your business. So in every area, we're not going to be writing policy. We're not going to be creating new ways. What we will be doing is suggesting ways that are out there and connecting suppliers with experts to say, this could be the help you need. These are the people to go to. So it's very much about listening to the supplier. What are the issues? Who do they turn to? And we're the conduit, if you like, to that.
Mm-hmm. And this is going to be on a membership basis?
Membership basis. So suppliers can join as members. They will have full access to the portal and, as I said, can suggest topics and meeting agendas. Our partner companies then, they join as members. They can offer their product or service or a version of their product if they want to reach out to, you know, groups of suppliers that don't perhaps otherwise know. And ship owners and bunker buyers, we're very keen for them to join simply to endorse what we're doing. We just want them, two things really. One, to endorse us and to give the backing to suppliers that you know, there is the need out there. There's a lot of bunker buyers that want to use independence. They want to spread their risk and spread their procurement portfolio. But equally, the chance for them to see on the website who is an MFA quality supplier. So like you or I would use a website for purchasing a hotel or a restaurant and you look for the best rating. That's what we want to do. We want suppliers to have a high rating, and so a buyer has the opportunity to use them in a port where perhaps they don't go very often. And that's part of the promote, you know, we're promoting the profile.
Brilliant. And if people want to find out more, what's the website that they can go to?
www.marinefieldsalliance.com. Our email is info@marinefieldsalliance.com.
It does what it says on the tin.
And what we're going to be doing, or what we have done already actually, is created a support email so that when a member clicks on, if he wants to request a document or request immediate support or help, it goes to the support email address and we connect them then with a partner straight away to get talking. So that will be for like day-to-day things like sanctions checks on a vessel or help on it with a credit assessment. Potentially in the sustainability area, what we're going to be creating are sort of like a frequently asked question sheet and a guide. You know, what are the fuels? Where are they? Who might be supplying them? What do you need to know? And crucially, here are some companies buying these fuels and operating them. Talk to the likes of Dan. Talk to the likes of Mads. Talk to Pro Bunkers in Greece, who are setting up quite a large scale LNG supply. Have those conversations through the MFA, and what you learn and what you come about can be shared across our membership community.
Very good. Well, I wish you the very best of luck with it, and it sounds like a noble endeavor. I think that the independent suppliers could do with that forum. You know, there are other industry associations out there, we should probably say, in the interests of balance, but sounds like the MFA is onto a good thing. Anthony, thanks very much.
Oh, absolutely, Mark, and we are talking to various other organisations about their work and actually specifically in this area of decarbonisation and new fields. There are a lot of people working with governments and maritime bodies that are learning and writing very important stuff about legislation, about tax, new emissions taxes. That needs to be understood by everybody. And again, as I say, we're offering like a means to access that through the MFA portal. You know, go and talk to this group, go and talk to this organization, but here's the link. You know, this is what you need to know, and we're putting it in one place. So hopefully that will help other bodies as well to grow.
Very good. But listen, Anthony, thanks very much for coming on and explaining to us all about the MFA. It's great to know that you're out there. I wish you the very best of luck with it. And
thank you.
Thank you to everyone out there in podcast land for listening, and look forward to introducing another guest to come and elucidate and illuminate and educate us all in the matters of decarbonisation for shipping. Thanks and goodbye for now from sunny Cambridge.